Our second reading is from Ephesians. This is last Sunday we began, I think it's a 5-Sunday sermon series on the book of Ephesians. And so normally we'd read the gospel as a preaching text. Since I'm preaching from Ephesians, I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, "You are dead because of your sins and offenses, which you committed in your allegiance both to the present age and to the ruler of the power of the air, that spirit who is even now at work among, quote unquote, the children of rebellion. And all of us were among them. We lived at the level of the flesh, following every whim of the flesh, every fancy of this age, and so by nature deserved God's wrath like the rest. But God, rich in mercy and loving us so much, brought us to life in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. It is through this grace that we have been saved. God raised us up and, in union with Christ Jesus, gave us a place in the heavenly realm, to display in ages to come how immense are the resources of God's grace and kindness in Christ Jesus. And it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And even that is not of yourselves, but the gift of God. Nor is it a reward for anything that you have done, so nobody can claim credit. We are God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus to do the good things God created us to do from the beginning. Bear in mind that at one time, the men among you who were Gentiles physically, called the uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcised, all because of a minor operation, had no part in Christ and were excluded from the community of Israel. You were strangers to the covenant and its promise. You were without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For Christ is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of hostility that kept us apart. In his own flesh, Christ abolished the law with its command and ordinances in order to make the two into one person, thus establishing peace and reconciling us all to God in one body through the cross, which put to death the enmity between us. Christ came and announced the good news of peace to you who were far away and to those who were near. For through Christ, we all have access in one spirit to our God. This means that you are strangers and aliens no longer. No, you are included in God's holy people and are members of the household of God, which is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus as the capstone. In Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in our God. In Christ, you are being built into this temple to become a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In our lives, or in people's lives, if we grow in maturity, then there are times in our lives when we choose to put others' needs before ours. Maybe when you were a child and you had a great big candy bar, and a friend wanted the candy bar too, and you were confronted with a struggle of, wow, if I give him my candy bar or part of it, then I have less to eat. But if you went ahead and did that, then that was kind of appreciating the other person's needs and providing that. It may look like when we're driving along and anxious to get someplace, we go ahead and slow down and let somebody in traffic. Or maybe in the grocery line, you choose to let someone go before you who is either clearly in need or maybe you have a bunch. Just, I mean, we call those little acts of kindness. Maybe showing a little bit of mercy or even grace. There are times when even bigger
transformations or ways of looking out for others' needs are presented to us. For those of us who are married, the choice to be married is a choice to put the other person's needs forefront in our lives and make a choice to respond to those needs. And for those who have children, boy, if you think life doesn't get recentered when you have children. Of course, some people, they continue to be focused on their own needs, and then, of course, their children and their families struggle. But there are times where we're used to, where it is common, where I would say if we have spiritual maturity, we rise to the occasion to provide, to look out for others' needs. And the word I'm going to use to describe that is, you can use kindness or say it's an act of service or it's an act of love or grace or self-sacrifice or mercy. But I want to use the word compassion. It's the ability to be compassionate, to put oneself into the other person's world and be aware of their needs and to respond to it. So I'd like to tie this conversation with the part of the reading that we had today from Ephesians. In the first sermon on this Ephesians series last week, really it was about reconciliation and how in chapter 1, the mystery of God's plan for the world was revealed to bring all things together, to be reconciled in Christ and through Christ. In this week's reading, we have this wonderful passage, verse Ephesians 2, verses 8. For by grace we have been saved through faith. This is key for us because it was one of those verses that opened Martin Luther's eyes to the graciousness of God. That God's desire is not for us to live in fear of eternal damnation. God's desire is not for us to constantly be on the hamster wheel of trying to be good enough for God. That it is God's grace, God's unconditional love for us that we can claim through baptism, we can claim through Jesus, because God became human in Jesus, and whatever price had to be paid, whatever had to be done, Jesus did that. And that through that we have this salvation, this assurance of God's grace, and it is through faith then that we have access to that. And for certainly in recent times, this understanding of faith really has primarily been a thinking and an intellectual thing. I agree. I assent to this understanding of who God is and what God is up to, and that I believe in that. I think and trust in that. And I want to expand all of these concepts a little bit. For by grace we've been saved through faith. I'm going to start talking about God's grace. God's grace is an unconditional gift. But I would put in this word compassion, that God's compassion is the same as God's grace, or that compassion is an access to understanding God's grace. God so loved the world. God knew the world's needs, the world's fears, the world's struggles, the world's suffering. And God chose to enter into that and to show compassion, to understand, to empathize, and to enter in so that that might be transformed. And the way that that happens, of course, was through Jesus. Jesus came into the world and modeled what it looks like to live for others. There's numerous verses about this. Jesus says, for those who want to save their lives will lose it, but those who lose their life for my sake will find it. If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, give up their cross and follow me. Really, what the world says is you have to look out for yourself. And Jesus challenges us with the question, what if looking out for others is the way to look out for yourself? Jesus' assurance is that when we live lives of compassion, that's what it looks like to live, to look out for others, to put yourself in those shoes, that when we do that, we're living out the compassion of God. And living out that compassion of God is the way of life. That we are made whole. We are made whole knowing we have purpose. We are made whole being able to participate in what God is doing. We're also made whole because all those things that divide us begin falling down as barriers. When you encounter someone who occurs as an enemy and you do the work of putting yourself in their shoes, of getting into their world, so to speak, all of a sudden, instead of you and the other person being on separate sides of a wall, you are over there with them. And you may not agree with what they're doing, but that compassion, that willingness to understand, that willingness to consider their perspective, their needs, shifts how then the conversation, the interaction, the whole relationship is. And the wall, if not completely removed, is lower, and at least low enough so that you can see the other person, truly see them as a person. Throughout Scripture, it says that Jesus saw. Jesus saw the blind man, and then Jesus touched or gave words and that provided healing and wholeness by providing sight. Jesus saw the sick and touched them, made them whole through physical healing, but also through exorcisms, what we might today call mental illness. God made them whole so that they were of the right mind. They were made whole in themselves. Jesus saw lepers, knew their isolation, knew their struggles and suffering, and with a word or a touch, made them clean and made them whole bodily, which allowed then a wholeness of bringing together with their community. Jesus saw the greedy, those who were trapped by their desire to accumulate more and more money and wealth, either out of a sense of security or to have power, which may be the kind of the same thing. Jesus saw their trappedness and tried to provide them words to set them free from this fear so that they might live lives of compassion. Also, those many religious leaders who so challenged Jesus and eventually orchestrated really his death, Jesus saw them, saw how they were trapped by their need to be right. Of course, none of us had that impulse, do we? But that rightness is a trap, and it keeps us from hearing the wisdom of others. And as soon as we trust that the other person has a reason why they're saying it, all of a sudden it opens it up. And so Jesus continuously tried to say things that would open their eyes, that would open their minds, that would create compassion for them. And thank God, many of them did. And folks like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea and others, certainly there were those that saw it, but there were so many that continued to be trapped and eventually killed Jesus. This is who Jesus was. Jesus knew, Jesus embodied what it looks like to live a life of compassion. And that compassion gave him life, provided life for others. And the ultimate expression of that was, of course, Jesus dying on the cross, where Jesus saw all those people that were doing this to him, but also Jesus saw all people and knew that this was needed so that they might recognize that compassion is the way to life. Circling back to the verse, for by grace we have been saved through faith, Ephesians 2:8. For by God's compassion we have been made whole through lives of compassion. When we allow the ego, which is the simple, it comes from the word I. When we can get I off center and allow ourselves to look out for the needs of others, we have life. We are made whole. For by grace we have been saved through faith. By God's compassion, we have been made whole through lives of compassion. Thanks be to God who is compassionate. Thanks be to the freedom and hope and life that we have as we live lives of compassion, look out for the needs of others, and are part of what God is up to in the world. Amen.